back for more. What's cracking? Welcome to the program. It is the Jim Rome Show, the Friday edition. Alvin, I think I will take that deck of you out. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. What's going on, clones? How you feeling? Welcome to the program. I've got a ton of show. In fact, I'm looking at what I've got to get done between now and the end of the program, and I'm not sure how I'm going to get done. Everything that I have to get done between now and the end of the program. Four interviews. Four on a Friday. Friday also includes the likes of Alvy's Week That Was, the Big Head. James Kelly is on a heater. I got to get him in here. And four interviews, and you, and my thoughts. In other words, 3 hours are not going to be enough. I got to get going right now. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. If you want up in here before the end of the weekend, you want to start dialing right now. Again, very small window for you. 1-800-636-8686. You can follow me on Twitter, please, at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at HaveATake.com. Here are the interviews. A ton of football for you. Coming up next segment, the head football coach at UCF, Josh Heupel. Next segment, top of hour number two, a safety for America's team, the Cleveland Browns, Andrew Sendejo. Coming up in the third hour, a linebacker with the LA Rams, Micah Kizer. Also in hour number three, a cornerback with the Steelers, Mike Hilton. So four interviews on a Friday, and the week that was, and the big head, James Kelly, getting us all paid. Entertaining us all for entertainment purposes only. Omaha! That's how it goes. All right, so let's get started. If we are starting off on a Friday, here is what I'm not going to talk about. Let me start by talking about what I'm not going to talk about. What we're not going to do when talking about the Lakers and the Nuggets is we're not going to say that the Nuggets are down 3-1, so they've got the Lakers right where they want them. Nope, not doing that. Just because everybody else on Twitter made that joke does not mean that you should be trying to make that joke. Be better than that. Don't do that. I know that Denver has come back from down 3-1 in each of the last two series. We all know that. I also know that Denver would much rather be up 3-1 than down 3-1. And the thing is, they really could be up 3-1 right now. That's how close this series is. Which is why you members of Laker Nation should not be running around and running off at the mouth. You should not be gloating right now that you're up 3-1, because you can't tell me that you were not sweating that. That is the toughest 3-1 lead you're ever going to take in a series, because Denver is giving LA everything they can handle now at both ends and then some. Last night, Jamal Murray did it again. He's gone to a superstar level in the bubble. Last night was another superstar night. You don't believe me? Then you clearly did not see that shot in the first half. And if you did, you're going to want to see it again and again and again. I can't tell you how many times I've already watched this shot. Every single time, I am amazed. Every single time. Go ahead, roll it.
Just his fourth year, but these Nuggets have all been together for the most part. Now it goes, and oh my goodness, what a basket! Jamal Murray!
Murray is attacking. Look at him, go up. No, I'm not going to dunk, not going to use with my left, but the English.
Superstar, phenom. He took off looking for a right-handed dunk. He saw LeBron going up. He switched from a right-handed dunk to a left-handed up and under layup. And from the moment that went in, people started to compare it to the Jordan shot from years ago. I want to be clear about this. Let me be clear about this shot. That was not the MJ shot. That was the JM shot. And the JM shot was better than the MJ shot.
That's bullshit.
No. Better than the MJ shot. Seriously. That's how good that was. And that's how crazy that was. And as crazy as it was, I'm not even sure it's his best shot in the bubble, because he also had that 360 against the Jazz. But Murray was not done blowing minds. There was the shot over Anthony Davis with 7 minutes to go in the game.
Here comes Murray dribbling left. Murray down the middle, throws it up. In! A spectacular running shot by Jamal Murray. And it's a four-point Laker lead, 96-92.
I'm telling you, every single night, this guy's doing something. He is must-see TV. That's the class of player that he has moved into in Orlando. This guy's absolutely fearless, and when he's in the zone, he can do things that you have never seen before. Normally, you have a shot like that one in the first half, and that one over AD, and that's an amazing night. You can pack it up, have those highlights forever, except he was not done. This guy comes back roughly 30 seconds later, and then he does this.
Murray dribbling down the middle, spins 360, left-handed in. Unbelievable shot by Jamal Murray, and it's a three-point Laker lead. Murray was off balance and somehow threw it in left-handed.
Lakers radio. If you're a Laker fan, how hard were you gripping at that point? Because you had a three-point lead, but it was a tenuous lead, especially with the way Murray was going off.
Get a grip.
There was absolutely no way to stop this guy. You play that kind of defense, and he's still making those circus shots. Then you shake this guy's hand, and you come back for game five. Or you can do one other thing. You can put LeBron on him down the stretch. And that's what the Lakers did. Frank Vogel said after the game, quote, LeBron asked for the assignment, end quote. So with LA up by four and just over 5 minutes to go, LeBron says, let me have this guy. I want the assignment. And he took it. Again, we're talking about a 17-year vet. A 17-year vet guarding a guy who's just entering his prime. And not just a 17-year vet, but 17 years in, 5 inches taller, 40 pounds heavier. And LeBron does the job. Held him to 0-for-2 from the field for the rest of the way. Picking up Murray at winning time is the ultimate sign of respect from LeBron. That is the very definition of game respecting game. And as LeBron said afterwards, there is a lot of respect.
Kid is special. He has an array of shots, the triple threat from the three, from the mid-range and also in the paint. And for me, it's just, you know, trusting my defensive keys, you know, trusting my study of film, you know, trusting personnel and living with the results. So, you know, I tell my teammates that I had them and everyone else can kind of stay at bay and stay home. And I was able to get a couple stops and was able to rebound the basketball, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, and speaking of rebounding, you want to know the difference in the game last night. It actually was not LeBron picking up Jamal Murray. The difference in the game last night was Dwight Howard picking up the Lakers. Yeah, I said it. Dwight David Howard II got the start last night, and he was a monster, especially in the first half. He had a double-double in the first half. He kept the Lakers in front. Without him, the Lakers probably would be losing in the first half, and they'd probably lose that game. What I'm saying is, Dwight Howard is getting my game ball. And how wild a thing is that to say? I mean, I've said it before, but Dwight's rejuvenation in LA has been one of the most incredible turnarounds of all time. Dwight turning into the ultimate heel in this series has been one of the most hilarious moments of all time. Except last night, he was not the heel. He was just a rebounding machine. 12 points, 11 boards in 23 minutes. This guy had 8 rebounds in the first quarter alone. 8 in the first quarter. 4 of them off the offensive glass, and they all led to putbacks. This guy's a rebounding factory. As LeBron said, quote, Dwight was a beast. Man, he sure as hell was. Treat yourself to an extra pack or 10 of Twizzlers. Big man, you earned it. And LA is going to need that beast for the rest of this series, no matter how long it lasts, because Denver's not going to go quietly. They are not going to pack up before game five and take the gentleman sweep. They're going to fight with everything they have. And Laker fans know that. They know this is the toughest they've ever had to fight for a 3-1 lead. They know they could just as easily be down 3-1. They know it. Just as they know Denver is not going to go away. The Nuggets are pure class. They're tough as hell, and now everybody knows it. And yes, I said it. Dwight David Howard II was the difference last night. What are your thoughts? 1-800-636-8686. All right, some other topics today. As I mentioned, it is a full day. Normally on Friday morning, I start off with my recap of TNF. Lots of thoughts about TNF last night. Did you hear the big head, Flight Deck, James Kelly? He was in studio yesterday. Off the cuff, I said, who you got tonight, big head?
Well, I got Miami plus three, boss.
Bam! The big head got you paid again. Hope you enjoyed that game and were entertained by it. This guy's on an unbelievable run. James Kelly. He looks to continue. We'll have him on in hour number two.
Negative, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full.
I want to talk some Major League Baseball. We are almost to the end of that really weird sprint-like shortened regular season where almost everybody gets in. And as always, the more things change, the more they stay exactly the same. Almost everybody gets in, but not the Mariners. They continue their streak of futility. That story's coming up. Got a good AI story. You've probably seen this. Allen Iverson in the news yet again. And when AI is in the news, it's a good day, especially this time. Thoughts on that coming up. How about that sad Jets protest? That was really sad. Really pathetic. B-U-M-S. Bums, bums, bums. 1-800-636-8686. Let's get some reaction in here before I go to break. And again, I've got four interviews. So don't mess around today. Get up in here. Get on the air. Haunted Horse tweets, Jim, no offense to Rit, but 30 seconds into the show, I know the GOAT is back on the soundboard. Friday sounds so right. It's not even fair. Alvin's the best there's ever been. And he's been working his craft for how long, Alvin? Almost two decades. 15 years, maybe. 15? Ritt's done it for 15 minutes, man. That's an impossible ask of Ritt. The only thing more difficult would be asking Ritt to do my job, which you know he thinks he can do better, because, again, he's got this absolutely irrational confidence about him. Sit your ass down, Ritt.
Finally.
Ritt's looking at me like, hey, yo, man, you don't want that. You don't want that. If I were you, Rome, I'd never get sick. They might let me sit in your chair. You don't want that. Go ask Drew Bledsoe about that. You don't want that. No, Ritt does a really good job of sitting in for Albie. It's an impossible ask. Wells in the 360 tweets. More Flight Deck making me money on Sundays and now on Thursdays. He did it, man. Think about this. This is the beautiful thing about the Flight Deck. He's got an enormous head, so he's smart, right? The bigger the head, the smarter you are. But when everybody, and for the record, the Deck and I both are guilty of this. This is a gigantic, even Hawk, who like knows nothing about sports, falls in this category. This is a gigantic Gardner Minshew house. We love this guy. We all love this guy. We love everything about this guy. But if you're going to get down, play the games for entertainment purposes.
Everybody get down.
You cannot let your emotion get the best of you. So the Flight Deck, and the Deck loves Minshew, loves him. Said, hey man, I got to go Miami plus three. I just have to. Bam, we get paid again. Or we get entertained again. Hey Rome, Denver has the Lakers right where they want them. Signed most obvious guy ever. Jake in Oregon. I don't know how to put this. I don't want to come down on any of you. But if you tweeted that or texted that or told anybody that, you're a moron. I mean, that is like so dumb. Oh, you got them right where they want them. Hey, good one. Hey, come on now. Ritt, don't think that Ritt doesn't think that he's better at Alvin's job than Alvin and better at my job than I am. Ritt, you know you do. You have an irrational sense of confidence.
Mark it down.
Part of me respects it, and part of me can't even believe it. Anybody else want to get up in here? Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. Call the program, 1-800-636-8686. As long as I'm still here and we're banging cell phone calls, there will be a smack-off. And there will be a smack-off next summer. And I need new blood, new meat for that smack-off. And it's never too soon to get up in here. Get your golden ticket. I've got a stack of them still. Andrew Sendejo, next hour. Micah Kaiser in the third hour. Mike Hilton in the third hour. Josh Heupel when we come back. And now your table is set. Come eat. When you need auto parts fast, O'ReillyAuto.com is only a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. You can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders, over $35. Or you can order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. You can even have your battery tested for free while you were there. If your battery does need to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your vehicle at a guaranteed low price. Like Superstar batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a Superstar battery for your car, your truck, your motorcycle, your lawnmower, your boat, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So much content. Got a ton of good stuff working on this Friday. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live. I'm in Southern California. I'm in our studio where I've been throughout the entire pandemic. It's great to be with you. Lots to get to. Hit us up on the phones. If you're on hold, stay there. As promised, we're joined right now by the head football coach at UCF. Third season as Knights head coach. Led UCF to back-to-back 10-win seasons. Led UCF to a 12-0 regular season. An AAC championship. The Fiesta Bowl in 2018. National champion. He was an All-American. He was a Walter Camp Award winner as a player. UCF is 1-0. They are number 13 in this week's AP poll. And they're at ECU tomorrow, noon Eastern. Josh Heupel is my guest. Josh, good to have you back. How are you?
Doing great. Appreciate you having me on.
Always good to have you on, Josh. Thank you so much. Now, you went to Atlanta last weekend, and you took on a Georgia Tech team that had already played and won this season. Your season opener had to be postponed. Let me start right there. What kind of expectations did you have for your team going into that game?
Yeah, I think there's always uncertainty in week one, right? You have a bunch of new players that get their first opportunity to really play in a college football game. Then you look at your veterans that are coming back, but, you know, all the things that everybody's battled over the last 5.5-6 months, and nothing has been the same, whether that's summer workouts or the way we went through training camp, the way we still meet, and nobody knew what the game day protocols were going to be. So I think our kids have handled that in a great way, and they were really excited to get an opportunity to go play, and we are this week, too, against East Carolina.
Josh Heupel joining us, and then Georgia Tech returns the opening kickoff 75 yards. They score three plays later, but you then responded with four unanswered touchdowns. What did your guys show you in the way they responded to that first score?
Yeah, that certainly wasn't the way we planned on starting the ball game there. You know, they hit us with a long return, a quarterback draw that takes them down, and they punch it in. But I think it speaks to maybe the maturity on our football team. A year ago, we lost three close ones on the road by a total of 7 points. Turnovers, red zone offense and defense were things that we highlighted and had to be better at. Handling adversity on the road. I thought we did that last Saturday. We continue to play after their opening drive. We go answer right away offensively, defensively, caused a havoc on the quarterback and created a bunch of turnovers all day long. Offensively played explosive. That's something that we liked in week one. We get an opportunity to go improve upon that here this week on the road again.
Josh Heupel is joining us. Speaking of quarterbacks, what about yours? Dylan Gabriel passed for a career-high 417 yards, four TDs. He was named the Davey O'Brien National Quarterback of the Week. What did you make of his performance?
Dynamic, very decisive with where he wanted to go with the football. Did a great job of adjusting, as did our offensive players and offensive staff. You know, they played us a little bit differently than what they had showed on tape. He adjusted in the course of the first drive immediately and, you know, did a great job of finding our playmakers in space. And our offensive line did a great job in protection. Dylan's going to be a great quarterback. He did some special things a year ago. He's continued and put in a lot of work during the offseason, even when we weren't around each other. And he's really continued to grow here since he's gotten back on campus.
You know, Josh, I want to stay on that point for 1 minute because you knew he was special when he came in as a true freshman and he won that job. But how do you explain a young guy showing up like that and leading his team to 10 wins?
I do think it speaks to the strength and the depth of this program that you can play a young quarterback and still have the type of season that we did. And really, you know, we lost three games on the road by a total of 7 points. And there's things in that ballgame that we all needed to do a little bit better. But he is a great player. He's growing into a dynamic leader inside of a football team. His expectations, his standards, the way that he works transcends through our offensive unit for sure and through our football team. Our team has a lot of confidence in him. But I do think it speaks to the depth of this football program. It's not just one guy. You know, we've had multiple starters at the quarterback position here over the last 3 years. We'll get an opportunity to continue to go play and improve as a football team this week.
UCF head football coach Josh Heupel, my guest. You know, you've mentioned that a couple of times, and I was going to ask you that anyway, but you're coming off a year where you were 10-3. But as you point out, those three losses were by 7 points total. Like, when you have something like that, it's going to be frustrating, of course, not to finish those games. But when you've got a young quarterback and you are that close, how much does that lay the foundation for a year like this?
Well, it can lay the foundation. I we talk about the little things in your preparation, the details that matter, in all three phases of the game, offense, defense, special teams, and it's a game of a series of one plays that make the difference in the game, and preparing with great urgency is important. If we didn't understand that as a team and a program, we certainly found that out last year in those close losses. Our kids have super high expectations here. They walk out on the field believing that they're going to go win every game, every week when we get that opportunity. We got to continue to grow in our maturity and in handling the ups and downs that happen during the game and happen during the season. I love our kids. There's a really tight brotherhood here. They love competing and playing football. And I love being around these guys every day.
Josh Heupel joining us for a few more moments. I think the key word there is brotherhood. Linebacker Eric Mitchell was talking about the brotherhood on the team. The fact that when guys had to go home, everybody was still getting on Zoom calls and telling each other how much they missed each other. Like that brotherhood you speak of, how important is that? And how much did that help the team get through a really unusual offseason?
Yeah, I think a lot of programs throw that word around, or family, and it doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot inside of the walls of the building and how you interact with each other every day. Our kids truly are that way, man. They're passionate about each other. They want to look out for each other. I think that is, the most important thing when you're building a program or building a football team is that there's a love that resides and exists between each other. And that certainly does here. We got to continue to grow that way. But when we were away from each other, those guys were in contact with each other all the time, as were our coaches. And we came back a better football team and have grown and continue to become tighter through all the offseason and all the uncertainty and all the issues that have happened here across America. And it's made us better. It's made me better.
UCF head coach Josh Heupel joining us. You know, also, you're having to go without the typical crowds. You've said, quote, if you're juiceless, you're useless, end quote. I like that. Lay it out for me. How does that juice show up, and how important is it to have guys who are going to bring that juice, whether they're in the game or not?
Yeah, it's important every day in practice, right? You got to be the same guy. You got to play with passion. You got to play with energy. We talk about being the most excited team to step on the field every Saturday. That's been true since I've been here, but no more true than it is this year. We're going to play in a stadium this week that's going to be completely empty. No fans allowed at the ballgame. We have to create our energy. We have to create momentum, and then we got to sustain it. And that's us cheering for the other unit that's on the field. It's us having excitement and playing with passion for the guy next to me, and it's celebrating the great plays and picking each other up when we need that too during the course of the 60 minutes of play. And our guys do play with a ton of energy, a ton of juice. We're going to need that on Saturday.
That's finally, Josh, you got this thing rolling. I mean, things are in a really good spot right now. I know you're looking to maintain that, build that, and keep it rolling. When you're out recruiting, what is the reception like when you're talking to prospects about UCF football now?
Yeah, it's a national brand now, coast to coast. It doesn't matter where we're recruiting a kid. They know who we are. They know where we're at, and they get a chance to see us on national TV. Over the last 3 years, I think we're top 10, top 15 in America in national television appearances. That's because of the exciting brand of football that we play. This is the second largest university in the country. There's a huge alumni base here. There's passion that resides coast to coast with our fans. And that is being understood and seen and known by our recruits as well. And it's changed the dynamics of who and what we're able to go after in the recruiting game.
So what are your biggest concerns about ECU tomorrow? What are you most focused on?
Well, first of all, they have dynamic playmakers on both sides of the line of scrimmage. It's their first ball game. They're going to be extremely excited to play. For us, we really do try to focus on things that we can control. We got to take care of the football. We got to eliminate penalties. Those are two things that hurt us a year ago. And we got to play with a ton of energy. If we do that, then we'll have a chance to go play our best football.
And passion and energy. If you are juiceless, you are useless. UCF 1-0, 13 in the AP poll. They're at ECU tomorrow. That's a noon Eastern game. He is the head football coach at UCF, Josh Heupel. Josh, great to have you back. Thanks so much. Good luck tomorrow. And it's always good to have you here in the jungle.
All right. Appreciate it.
Josh Heupel. He was a great college player, too. National champion, All-American, Walter Camp Award winner as a player. And he's got it rolling there. UCF at ECU. All right. 1-800. 636-8686. If you are juiceless, you are useless. If you are ginless, you are winless. I went there. Hey-o. It's Friday, man. You have to show up, grind, put the time in, win, finish, get that workout in. And then do what you want. Have a good night. Come on now, clones. Let's see what you got. Hey, Rome. We should have known the Dolphins would win last night. Team Stash has Tom Selleck, Sam Elliott, and that's pretty much it. Meanwhile, Team Beard has Grizzly Adams, Billy Gibbons, Chuck Norris, Kimbo Slice, Conor McGregor, Brian Wilson, Nick Offerman, Sean Connery, and many, many more. Signed Jeremiah in Greenville. Good point. I mean, it came down to that, right? The Beard versus the Stash. The Beard was dominant. Fitzmagic was just awesome last night. And you knew it. You want to talk about juice. Man, that guy hit the field with juice. I said it in a tweet early on that, man, the Dolphins are playing with a lot of two tonight. And they did. That was, to quote the late, great Pat Tillman, a nice, swift ass-kicking. But you would have known that if you were listening yesterday, because the flight deck came on. James Kelly. And he said,
hey, boss, I'm taking Dolphins +3.
Coming up top of hour number two, Browns safety, Andrew Sendejo, which means we are open next segment. I want to get into TNF when we come back. 1-800-636-8- tight windows today. Very tight windows for you to get through. Four interviews, Alvy's week that was. I've got a James Kelly segment coming up and an ATP on a Friday, as you know. The ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros and ask me a question. I will answer one of yours later on, but probably not. I will probably answer one of Bella B's later on. She's just much better at that game than the rest of you. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. This is from Sullivan, 1870. Hey, Rome. That's what I tried to tell Nicole. If you're juiceless, you're useless. Signed, you know who. Yeah, a couple of dead people. Still not funny. Still too soon. It will always be too soon. Romy, if you are juiceless, you are useless. Regards, Rome screaming at that juice bar employee. Geoff and Lincoln, it's not bad, Geoff. It's not bad. And for you, when I say something's not bad, that's like your best day ever. I did not scream, quote, at that juice bar employee. I wanted to, but I don't scream at employees. The story goes there that I came there one morning. It was a Nectar, not far from where I live, and I was first one in early in the morning, and I just wanted to buy something. I didn't even want something prepared. I bought one of the ones that was already in a bottle. I took it right out of the refrigerator, put it on the counter, and waited and waited and waited and waited. And the juiceless, useless teenager was in the back where she could see me and prepping it up. Just looking at me, and I'm just looking at her, and she couldn't give a damn. And I just want to pay for it and get the hell out. And she's just looking at me like, what? You need something, old man? Y'all get there when I get there. So I'm just getting more and more enraged. So I did the mature thing. I left the bottles on the counter, turned around and walked out, and then went like 4 months without going back. And believe me, you, that hurt me a hell of a lot more than it hurt her. One, it didn't hurt her at all. She probably thought it was hilarious. And two, there was a product there that I liked that I couldn't have for 4 months, and it's right near where I live because I stomped out of there. Never mind, I could have said, excuse me, would it be all right if I paid for this? I know you're busy, useless, juiceless teenager with a bad attitude. Can I please pay for this? No, but no, I did the mature thing like a 50-something person would do. I left it on the counter and turned around and walked out like I made some kind of statement. But no, Geoff, I did not yell at that employee. In fact, I didn't say one word. I just walked. And no, it didn't feel good. I finally showed up again because I knew that 4 months later that that teenager had probably been turned out 10 different times. It's been fine since I've gone back. Anybody else? 1-800-636-8686. All right, so there are a couple of undisputed universal truths in this world. And not necessarily what you think I'm going to say. As an example, number one, treat people the way you would like to be treated. I think in a world where we can't all agree on anything, we can agree upon that. Number two, when Allen Iverson speaks, you listen. And that's pretty much it. Just those two things. Follow those two universal truths, and you probably will have a long, fruitful, fulfilling life. Why do I say that? AI. AI is essentially the swaggiest athlete ever. Probably the swaggiest athlete to ever step on planet Earth, right? He just is. The all black, untucked Philly jersey, the braids, the baggy shorts, the headband, the sleeve, the shooting sleeve. One of the hardest looks in sports history. Most looks do not age well, especially after a couple of decades. But go Google AI from the early 2000s. On the Sixers, nobody has ever looked better, cooler, harder, swaggier, edgier, anybody than this cat. And even today, it's still true. This guy was an MVP at 6 foot nothing. This guy crossed up Mike after Mike called him a little bitch. This guy dragged a team essentially of nobodies to the NBA Finals. This guy signed a lifetime contract with Reebok that apparently still pays him enormous money to this day. He, of course, also is one of the most iconic, one of the greatest sound bites ever.
We're talking about practice, not a game, not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We're talking about practice, man.
What are we talking about? Like, how many times can you hear that? You can't hear that enough. How can you hear something a million times and it gets better every time.
Not a game.
Not the thing I die for. And you know why that is? Because it's Allen, man. It's AI. He's the only guy that something like that could get better and better and better with time. Or how about that other time? Remember when he went after that beat writer for talking about the game when he never played the game?
Did I respond?
Yeah.
Pete, there are people who suggest, me among them, that instead of shooting 40%, if you were in...
What you know about basketball?
I know...
Have you ever played?
Yes.
I don't know Phil Jackson. I don't know you as a basketball player. I don't mean, for real. I know you as a columnist. Listen, I don't know you as no player, though. I ain't never heard of you as no player.
Why is that an issue?
Why is that an issue? Because we talking about basketball.
Then let me ask my question.
We talking about basketball.
Let me ask my question.
What? What's your question?
Suppose you shot.
Philip.
Suppose you shot.
Absolutely incredible. Like, Philip is right. That's always been one of the dumbest takes ever. The, what do you know? Have you ever played the game? Like, everybody has all sorts of opinions on things that they've never done before. It's always been one of the dumbest takes ever. Except when AI goes with it, it's all right. It's
what
funny.
What do you know about basketball?
I mean, the disdain that Philip blast at the end.
Philip.
This guy's incredible. So, obviously, when I see that Matt Barnes and Stackjack, guys who have both been on my podcast, and guys that are really fascinating guys. When the two of those guys and their podcast is just doing unbelievably well. When those two dudes, Matt Barnes and Stackjack, have the answer on their pod, I, along with the rest of the world, had to check that out, and it did not disappoint. How could it, right? The whole thing is great, but the one clip making the rounds right now is the one right here, where AI stops the conversation to look directly into the camera and send a very clear message to an anonymous person.
It's one guy that I want you to, I'm looking. What camera can I look at? Do I supposed to look at? It's one guy. I know you hate me. And trust me, I don't hate nobody. Yes, I do. I hate you. And just trust me. The way you hate me, I hate you too. You and your daddy. You and your dad.
The both of you.
Both of you. Both of you. You and your daddy, and the world can figure it out.
Yeah.
But I ain't saying your name.
Now, you know me, and you know this show. I don't talk about other members in the media. Never have, never will. I don't need to. I don't care. It's not my thing. I leave everybody else alone to do their thing, and I do my thing. But hot damn, I do talk about AI talking about the media because AI just brought all the smoke to the All the Smoke podcast. And I'm not talking about tree. I'm talking about straight heat and straight hate.
I hate you. And just trust me. The way you hate me, I hate you too. You and your daddy. You and your daddy.
The both of you.
Both of you.
That is incredible. I hate you. And the way you hate me, mother bleeper, I hate you more.
Hate
you and your daddy. That's AI going hard at somebody, but not naming names. So, of course, the internet is furiously debating even right now over who the hell he's talking about. I don't even care. The only thing I care about is that it's not me. I don't want to be that guy because I don't want to be on the wrong side of AI. Why would you want to be on the wrong side of a guy who doesn't hate anybody? He just said it. I don't hate anybody. Except you, MF-er, and your daddy. Like, if you're on AI's bad side, then you really messed up. He is right there on record as saying he does not hate anybody. In the same podcast, he said he has love for the prosecutor who tried to lock him up as a teenager after that bowling alley brawl. He doesn't hate the prosecutor. He doesn't hate anybody. This is the same dude who apologized to Philip after he ripped him at the presser.
Philip.
He apologized to him. Like, AI essentially is all love. I mean, he will straight carve you on the court, but the guy is known for having one of the more gentle personalities off of the floor. But man, does he hate this anonymous media member. He hates this M bleeper and his daddy.
I hate you too. You and your daddy.
That is so strong. Not just I hate you, but I hate you, MF-er, and your daddy.
You and your daddy.
Like, I wonder what daddy did. Was daddy talking bleep? Or does AI just hate the dad for creating the MF-er? I mean, who knows? Who even cares? It's an incredible line nonetheless. Give this guy another 10 minutes and he's going to chop down the entire MF-ing family tree. Nobody knows the answer to who the answer was talking about. Personally, I don't need to know. I don't want to know. I just love somebody putting this guy on camera with a microphone and letting him speak and look directly into both. AI is a national treasure. He's impossible not to love. And whoever got on the wrong side of this guy is going to have to live with that sin forever. And his daddy. Just glad it's not me.
Mother, I hate you too. You and your daddy.
I love that he acknowledges that, yo, I know you hate me, but mother bleeper, I hate you too. Not only you, but you and your daddy. Both of you. AI. AI, back. He doesn't hate anybody except that mother bleeper. Oh, and his daddy.
I hate you.
You know what? I hate him too. And I have no idea who it is. But if AI hates him, so do I. Whoever it is. I don't know. I don't care.
Philip.
It's not Philip. Philip.
Philip.
Let's see. Going to break. Hey, Rome. What did my dad and I ever do to AI? I earned my job like everybody else. I'm my goals kid, of course. Francis in Glendale wore Irate Craig using Twizzlers as friendship bracelets. I said tight windows. And now that window slammed shut. Coming up to start hour number two, we are talking America's team football. It's coming up next. Andrew Sendejo, then James Kelly. Stay tuned.